30 for 30 podcast presents March 11th, 2020. The story of the day the NBA shut down and the pandemic became real for many Americans. As told by those who lived the events that day and built entirely with archival and exclusive interviews, including Rudy Gobert and Dr. Anthony Fauci. 30 for 30 podcast presents March 11th, 2020. Subscribe and listen now wherever you get your podcasts. Also, Stephen A's World streams weekdays on ESPN Plus, bringing fans Stephen A. Smith's entertaining perspective and deep expertise with signature guests. The best interviews from Stephen A's World are now available as a podcast every Wednesday. Listen wherever you get your podcasts and watch Stephen A's World on ESPN Plus. Hello, welcome to the Hoop Collective podcast. We talk about the NBA, which we're doing on Thursday afternoon. Joining us from Boston, Massachusetts is Tim Bontemps. Hello, Tim.
Hello, Brian.
And joining us from Dallas, Texas, just engaged.
Woo, woo.
Band McMahon. Congratulations, Tim.
Well, howdy, partners. I appreciate that. And my
took advantage of the all-star break to get engaged.
Yeah, all these years of being remarkably handsome have finally paid off. My fiance Maria, she's a big listener too. She even listens to the early week pod when I'm not on.
Oh, wow. Bontemps, you know, he put it on Twitter and Instagram, so it's not a secret, but he looks very happy. I'm very happy for McMahon. You know, McMahon's, you know, we like him on edge. We don't like him happy, though. We like him a little.
I got plenty of edge, but, you know, I have to.
He likes to pretend he's miserable all the time, but it's good to see him happy.
I mean, I had to take a little social media victory lap. You see her? She's finding a mug, man. Come on now.
Beautiful, beautiful family. Beautiful.
Well, thank family. You.
Really,
the McMahon
really like
mob.
It. Yes. So congratulations on that. Now down to business. Forget about this nice
all right,
and warm.
Yeah. Let me get my snarl back.
Last night you had a story about a rare, this doesn't usually happen with the Spurs, although the Spurs do buy guys out. But LaMarcus Aldridge, who a few years ago demanded a trade from the Spurs, I'd like to point out, you reported on him being done there. You want to go over the basics? What's going on with that?
Yeah, this is one of those, well, let me just pop on over to the pop Zoom. You never know what he's going to say. I didn't expect him to say, hey, LaMarcus Aldridge is never playing for the Spurs again, but essentially mutual decision. And look, they'd been winning without LaMarcus. He'd been coming off the bench the few games he did play over the last month. Clearly, you know, they were moving in a different direction, and they just completely, you know, it's final now. There's no more him coming off the bench for 15 minutes, that sort of thing. You know, Woj is reporting that the Spurs are optimistic that they can find a suitable trade partner. You know, they're not going to dump him to Siberia. You know,
looks like that's where Pop has been, even though he's had the shot and could very easily get his hair cut, he is letting that mane keep going.
Yeah,
Siberia.
Let that man live, man. My grandfather, Lucian Warnick, had a beautiful white long mane for years. And, you know, if you still can grow it when you're old and you get that silver ponytail type look going, you can, you know, go ahead and let him rock that. But no, so, you know, the way Pop kind of described it was, you know, going to let LaMarcus explore other opportunities, and those will be elsewhere, and that he deserves that. You know, Bobby Marks posted a video today kind of going through all this, but it's just really difficult to, you know, as optimistic as they might be, it's hard to figure out, like, what trade would make sense for a guy who's got a $24 million salary. So if they don't get a deal done by the deadline, he'll be bought out. You know, potential Portland reunion, you know, that could be interesting. Lakers, you know, the usual. So obviously the Nets are going to be mentioned with everybody. We'll see what happens with Drummond before that. But yeah, LaMarcus Aldridge will be playing for, I assume, another playoff team at some point by the end of the month.
Bontemps, you were not surprised that the Spurs, when LaMarcus apparently went to them and said, hey, I'd like to leave. And the Spurs were like, okay.
Yeah, the Spurs are 9 points per 100 possessions better when LaMarcus Aldridge doesn't play this season. This isn't very complicated. The Spurs want to make the playoffs, and when LaMarcus plays, it actively hurts them. This is not a Blake Griffin situation where both sides decided, hey, we're a young team that's trying to rebuild, and you're not really a great fit here, so let's try to come to some kind of understanding and allow you to go move on and play somewhere else. This is the Spurs want to make the playoffs. They want to be good. Jakob Poeltl, who's shooting, I think, 25% on free throws this year, has been a demonstrably better player than LaMarcus Aldridge. Close enough. And he's been a demonstrably better player. They've been far better with him on the court. And, you know, look, I mean, LaMarcus came off the bench a couple games and then got sick right before the break. Now they come back and say he's not going to be around the team anymore. You know, look, I can't see any team giving up anything of value to trade for him. And I think if somebody signs him, I think it's going to be like Blake Griffin, where, you know, if he helps a team win one playoff game, it's a success. But if anybody thinks he's going to come in and be a huge difference maker, I simply just can't see that happening.
Hmm. Well, there's some, I've seen some people out there connecting Boston to him in possible trade. And yeah, Boston has a $28 million trade exception. So the difficulty of finding a, you know, making a trade swap work would not be a problem there. But I don't see Boston using that trade exception to get a rental player. And I don't see them going into the tax, which would put them right in the tax, I'm pretty sure.
He'd be their fourth best center. It would not really make sense to go into the tax to trade for a guy who shouldn't.
Right. They need a forward, but he's not really a.
No, he's not. I mean, he's not playing. He's not playing the four at this point in his career. He's a center at this point. You know, especially the way they. Now he is. You know, he has been shooting threes. He's at least, which, you know, that doesn't mean he's playing forward. That means he can kind of be that stretch five. He's shooting 36%, you know, on some volume from 3-point range. But no, the Celtics, if they're going to use that trade exception, they need to make a big splash. One, because it's the one big bullet that they have. And two, to your point, Wendy, you're not adding a ton of salary and jumping, you know, cannonballing into the luxury tax for a guy who's going to be a 15-minute per game off the bench type of dude.
Yeah. So the only thing, so the Spurs are $1 million below the tax right now. So I don't see them necessarily making a move that, you know, adds salary. But the one thing I will say is the Spurs have a ton of cap space for next year, which they're not going to be able to use on free agents, which they won't want to use on free agents. Now, some of them are their own free agents. They may want to keep DeMar DeRozan. They may want to keep Patty Mills. But I do think they'd be interested in taking back some salary if it was a player that they like going forward. But again, that's kind of a hard, you know, needle to thread, because a team that would want a guy like LaMarcus Aldridge right now is probably trying to make a playoff push, and they're not sending a player that, you know, has upside long term back in that type of deal. So,
well, you know, the other thing, I wonder if there might be a situation where they could take back salary that is, you know, a salary dump if there's assets attached, and then, you know, LaMarcus's primary value in the deal would be that he's an expiring contract that comes off the other team's books at the end of the year. You know, and maybe it's a deal where he's, you know, it's that trade is made, that team buys him out, and then he ends up in Portland or LA or wherever.
You know, Bontemps, like you're making a good point, McMahon. The Spurs have never done deals like that. They've never had to. They've never, you know, they've never been in a rebuild.
I mean, you know, Bobby had it. They hadn't made a trade during the season since what, like 2014?
They're the only team with a longer stretch than the Celtics without acquiring a player in a season. They traded Austin Day for Nando DeColo for Austin Day in 2014. So last time they made a season trade.
I don't know this for 100%, but I think before 2014, I want to say it was like 2006, maybe the previous time they'd done a midseason trade.
The time before that was actually when they traded Steven Jackson. They got back Steven Jackson for Richard Jefferson, I think, in 2012 was the time before right. that when they'd made a move. But it's been all a long right. time since they've done something like that.
Poor RJ. Does he still get booed in San Antonio, like when he goes to announce games?
Pretty sure he does.
Didn't they excommunicate Steven Jackson before the end of that season, or was it the next year?
I believe it was a very quick departure. Yeah. It may not have been quite that quick, but it was close.
Yeah, they told him they sent him home. So okay, so
that tray went up in smoke, huh?
Good podcast. Let's just assume, or make the for the sake of argument, say that the Spurs don't make a trade and he gets bought out, which will probably happen in the next 2 weeks. McMahon mentioned the teams that were interested in him. Phoenix is an interesting one.
Yeah.
Remember, he almost signed in Phoenix.
They signed Tyson Chandler thinking that Tyson was going to be the guy to get LaMarcus to Phoenix.
This was a very in the annals of, you know, the last 10 years have been sort of the peak free agency in NBA history, where we've seen crazy stuff starting with the decision and then moving onward. That was one of the more remarkable ones, where the Suns were trying to get land LaMarcus Aldridge, who was he the top free agent that summer? It felt like in my mind he must have been.
Yes, he was.
And so there was a meeting in Los Angeles at his agent's office. And the Suns, like right after midnight the night before, secured Tyson Chandler on a long-term deal, which was a terrible mistake from the moment it was signed, and brought him to the meeting as like the big surprise. You know, Riley's big move when he signed LeBron was dropping the rings, and the Suns' big move was when it came time for them to come in the meeting, Tyson Chandler came with them. And the concept was at the time, LaMarcus didn't want to play center. He wanted to be a power forward. And so it was like, LaMarcus, not only are you going to play power forward, here is our center. And he's going to tell you right now how you're going to play alongside of him. And LaMarcus tipped his cap, but then said, I'm signing in San Antonio, which also didn't work out almost from the start, even though he ended up extending there later on. But it's just it was just a really strange move, because then they didn't get Aldridge and now they've got Tyson Chandler, who didn't really fit what they were trying to do. So, but anyway, right now, the Suns have had a lot, you know, they've been playing great. And one of the things that happened is they moved Frank Kaminsky, a guy who got waived. They picked him up on waivers earlier this year. He was with the Suns last year. They cut him. Then he went to, I think he was with the Kings.
Well, they didn't cut him. He became a free agent, and then he signed with the Kings in the offseason, and then they cut him at the end of training camp, and then they brought him back.
I think they had a team option on him, and they didn't pick it up. I think that's what happened with Kaminsky. It doesn't matter. The point is, he was waived earlier this year. They picked him up on the waiver wire, and he has been starting for them. And he doesn't play that many minutes, but his starting really balances out their roster, and they've got a pretty potent bench. They've moved Jay Crowder to the bench. Crowder comes in off the bench, and so they start big. The point is, you know, there's minutes at the big man spot in Phoenix, you know, in and around.
They've been searching for a backup. They've been searching for a backup five all season.
Yeah. That's an interesting spot. And then, of course, the LA teams. I'm pretty sure LaMarcus lives in Orange County in the offseason.
He's definitely got a house in Southern California for sure.
Yeah. May not be Orange County, but he used to. So those would be the teams we would watch. And you guys don't seem to be all that high on his addition to a team. I think if you're a fan and you sign LaMarcus Aldridge and thinking you're going to get all-star LaMarcus Aldridge, all-NBA LaMarcus Aldridge, like last week when Blake Griffin signed with the Nets, he was on the back page of both the Daily News and the Post proclaiming it like this was a huge victory, like they had added another star. And I mean, Blake Griffin's just not a star right anymore. He's not. I mean, that doesn't mean he can't have nights where he summons it back, but he's not a star anymore. Well, LaMarcus Aldridge is not a star anymore. So
the Spurs are trying to make the playoffs and they're kicking this guy to the curb. That's all you need to know about his value for what because if he could help them, they would still start him.
Better than somebody that they sign out of the G League.
I don't think that's necessarily true. Again, the Spurs are 9 points per 100 possessions worse when the guy plays. They're getting outscored by almost 6 points per 100 possessions when he's on the court. He's been a disaster for them this year.
I think he could help a team in a limited role. I mean, and maybe come playoff time in a matchup specific role. You know, there are going to be situations where defensively you're not going to want him on the floor, but you know, he's still a 6'11" guy who's got can really shoot the ball. And like I said before, is expanding his range out to 3-point range. you know, I really, with any buyout situation, I think there's a reason these guys are you know, on the market midseason. You have to understand that going in. Matter of fact, last year, who were the buyout guys on the Lakers last season?
It's like J.R. Smith and Deion Waiters and somebody else during the year.
Right.
So one of them who did really anything.
I don't know if they had any buyout guys who played 100 minutes in the playoffs, but before that, because I looked this up last year, before that, the last buyout guy to play 100 minutes in the postseason for a championship team was Peja for the Mavericks in 2011. So, you know, buyouts get a lot of attention.
And before that was P.J. Brown with the Celtics. There's those couple guys. There's San Elia Silva and Marco Bellinelli had a nice run with the Sixers a few years ago. The first year they broke through and lost to the Celtics in the second round. But these are the exceptions to the rule. Generally, these are guys who get bought out and don't do anything.
Yeah, they typically get a lot of attention because they are names, because people love transactions and all that kind of stuff. But again, the buyouts who actually make big splashes in the playoffs or boost teams in the playoffs are the exceptions.
It's the 15th roster spot for a team like the Lakers or the Clippers.
Right.
I think it's value added. But I think you have to look at it as the 15th roster spot. I think that's the key. But
yeah, you can put seven-time All-Star in the press release. Just don't think you're putting it in the rotation.
Sure. If LaMarcus Aldridge goes to a good team and he helps them win a single playoff game, just like if Blake Griffin helps the Nets win a single playoff game, it's worth it. I just would be stunned if either one of them does anything much more than that. I just don't see how they're going to be able to.
Guys, I just don't think there's going to be a lot of action at the trade deadline. And so the guys who get bought out later that day or the day after. So we're talking about Andre Drummond, LaMarcus Aldridge. Mm-hmm. There's always a surprise guy. I'm watching J.J. Redick in New Orleans. Let's see what happens with J.J. Redick in New Orleans. His role has kind of ebbed and flowed. He's on his last year there. He's always on the trade block before. Now he's off and, I don't know where it's at right now. But I think just because of the nature of how tight the trade market is, I think it's the buyout is going to be where a lot of these contenders try to improve. And so there's going to be a lot of focus on it. Andre Drummond is not a bad player. He's just not a guy that anybody wants to pay $28 million in 2021. And, I think the same for LaMarcus Aldridge. If LaMarcus Aldridge is, making the salary, he's making $24 million, and a guy that you were counting on to be a core piece, who's not a core piece anymore and is, not effective, you look at him that way. You look at him another way when he's on your roster for the minimum and he's one of four options you can go to. So I'm a little bit more optimistic. But look, I'm not disagreeing with anything Bontemps is saying. I think that could be true.
I just don't like where it's coming from.
You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems, but nothing on your roof. So who's ever up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, barrel-sinking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Well, now it's time for our CarMax trivia question. And a reminder that the Hoop Collective is brought to you by CarMax. Don't just buy a car. Love your car. With the new CarMax Love Your Car Guarantee. All right, so this week's trivia question surrounds LaMelo Ball. So LaMelo Ball is just the second player in the last 50 seasons, 50 seasons, to average 20 points, 5 rebounds, and 5 assists.
I saw this one.
In his first 15 career starts. Who was the other? Well, it was a rookie, obviously, first 15 career starts.
Bontemps,
who was the other rookie?
Bontemps, do you know the answer?
25 and 5.
I don't know the answer. I mean,
it was another. I'll give you a hint. It was another point guard.
I just gave you a hint. Do you know the answer?
I'm not sure how that's a hint. If I know the answer, I'm trying to think who it might be. Another point guard.
Lindy, am I right?
I mean,
he was. I'll give you another hint. He was one hell of a high school quarterback. And I say that fresh off watching Jalen Suggs' high school football highlights. This guy was an amazing high school football quarterback.
I didn't even know. I mean, I wouldn't remember that.
Oh,
I mean, now I'm thinking it's Allen Iverson, but I can't imagine. Yes. Oh, it is Allen Iverson. Okay.
Do you know the answer?
Oh, okay. But I didn't.
I mean, it was a good pun, but it was hard to pick up on.
Yeah, that the high school quarterback thing. I was that was good. No, I just wouldn't have guessed AI would average that many rebounds. He was an unbelievable high school quarterback.
Well, I don't know how many minutes he was playing, but he was probably playing 42 minutes. So
yeah, that's true.
The ball just bounced into his hands enough of those times.
Yeah, that's true.
And if anybody hasn't, responsible for a lot of long rebounds too.
If anybody hasn't seen Allen Iverson's highlights as a high school quarterback, to McMahon's point, go watch them.
Quarterback, defensive back, punt returner, kick returner. It was ridiculous. By the way, Jalen Suggs he's pretty damn good too, but neither here nor there.
Yeah. Gonzaga. But this is the interesting thing. I was looking at the notes that Sports and Information provided on LaMelo. Since Michael Jordan became the president of basketball operations and minority owner, and he later became the controlling owner in 2006. So 15 years. They are just one of two teams in the NBA to not have a first team all rookie in those 15 years. I guess it's 14 because this is the 15th year. They made 13 lottery picks.
That's a tough track record. Span.
It's hard to do.
And none of them made first team all rookie.
Who was the other team?
Well, that would have been a good trivia question too. Well, I'll give it to you. Here's your bonus trivia question. Who's the other team since 2006 not to have a first team all rookie? I don't have how many lottery picks they had, but it was a lot less than 13.
No.
My guess would be Orlando.
That's not right, but you're thinking along the right lines. This team has made the playoffs a bunch in that span. They've also drafted several all-stars. They just must not have been first-team all-rookies.
All-stars that are still there, or is it the Lakers?
No, it's an Eastern Conference team.
Indiana?
Indiana is correct. Okay. That was good for your fucking guess.
Yeah, I was just trying to think of teams that have been like in the middle, like kind of in the middle for that whole time without. Yeah,
Indiana's like never had a high pick. Indiana never has high picks. So out of in the last 15 drafts, they've only drafted one all-star. Now again, that's with a lot of lottery picks in there. The all-star
LaMelo going to the Hornets was such a big deal because the Hornets were. You know, just the most depressing franchise, maybe in sports. I mean, since they've come back to the NBA in 2004, to your point, they've had, I mean, Kemba's the one interesting player they've had. He left in free agency after they decided not to trade him and let him walk for nothing. They haven't won a single playoff series. They've won 3 playoff games. They've basically had no energy or excitement around them at all. And now they land the guy who should have been the number one pick in the draft with the 3rd pick, who's an incredibly exciting player who everybody wants to see play all the time. And all of a sudden this team that had absolutely no juice adds, you know, a guy who's a borderline all-star this year, Gordon Hayward, and adds him. And all of a sudden, like, they're really fun to watch. And I think they're going to make the playoffs, and they have real excitement around their team, really, for, you could argue, the first time since they returned to the league.
This is the first time that, if I'm just flipping around league pass, that I will stop on a Hornets game intentionally.
100%.
All right. Here are their 13 lottery picks dating back to 2006.
There's some ugly ones.
Several of these were top three picks. 2006, Adam Morrison.
Not great.
That's tough.
Third, I think number three pick off top. I don't have it right here.
Yeah, it was the third pick.
2007, Brendan Wright.
Not great.
2008, DJ Augustine.
One spot ahead of Brook Lopez, who thought he was going there. That didn't work out great.
2009, Gerald Henderson.
Also not great.
2011, Kemba Walker.
That worked out pretty good.
Pretty good. Yeah.
They also ended up with Bismack Biyombo in that draft, when in a bunch of wacky trades where they could have drafted Klay Thompson or Kawhi Leonard or one of a bunch of people, and instead they drafted Bismack Biyombo.
Still there.
He came back again.
Twice, I think so.
Yes.
2012, number two overall pick, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist.
Yeah, one ahead of Bradley Beal. Also not great.
Ooh.
2013, Cody Zeller.
I believe that was the fourth pick, too, I think.
Yeah, top five, I think. 2014, Noah Vonleh.
Yeah, it didn't work out great.
2015, Frank Kaminsky, which I want to say was maybe eight.
He was ninth. It was one spot ahead of Justice Winslow. Yeah. People freaked out about that. Now it's also the pick that the Celtics allegedly offered 1,000 first-round picks for, that Michael said, "Nah, we'll take Frank the Tank instead."
Right. 2017, Malik Monk. He's had a few games this year, but generally
Malik Monk taken one spot ahead of Luke Kennard, who has been demonstrably better than him, even though he has not been great, and two spots ahead of Donovan Mitchell, who was the other guy that they debated taking. Malik Monk and Donovan Mitchell. They went with Malik Monk. That would have been a bit different, too.
2018, they made a trade where they landed Miles Bridges, but the pick ended up getting used on Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
They traded back a spot when Shai was on the board and didn't take him. It's like, oops.
Yeah, that was a mistake. I'll say this, though. That obviously, Gilgeous-Alexander is a significantly better player. That was a mistake. I like Bridges, though, and I really like watching Bridges play with Lonzo, because that dude, you can throw
Miles
it up
Bridges
to the
fun.
Raptors, and he'll go get it.
He's a very fun guy to have with Lonzo. He ain't SGA. If you had SGA and Lonzo, he'd be cooking with gas in Charlotte right now.
2019, PJ Washington, who probably made
that was a good pick. Yeah, that was a good pick late in the lottery. I think he was the 12th or 13th pick. That was a very good pick.
Yeah, 12th pick.
He's good.
And then of course 2020, LaMelo. So when
PJ Washington did go a pick ahead of Tyler Hero.
Yeah. So. At the beginning of the season, I was just concerned about LaMelo's shooting. I was just worried, you know, because his shooting numbers in Australia were just really.
Is this going to be the ultimate Brian mea culpa about being way off on LaMelo? We're going to have the official mea culpa now on the pod?
Look, first off, I didn't say it publicly. It was a private conversation. I will make it public right now.
There you go.
And I was asking the question. I was not making a statement and putting my flag on the ground. But
you were,
Tim and
you
I
were
have
pretty, a, you were pretty down on LaMelo.
I wasn't down.
By the way, this is the problem. This is why I'm never talking to Bon Temps on the phone again, because if you have good points, he'll steal them and claim them on his own on the podcast. If you have bad points, he'll wait to see if they're proven wrong and then use them against you. There's no upside to talking to Bon Temps outside of the podcast.
I steal stuff from Bon Temps all the time. I can't.
I would
lie
never
about
admit that.
That.
This has just been a long-standing goof with me and Brian about LaMelo. Right. So,
Bon Temps and I have a mutual friend who works for a team who, pretty high-level personnel guy, and it was really me against those two guys. And I just said, there was a question mark at the end. There was not an exclamation point or a period. Bon Temps, who would you rather have, Tyler Hero or LaMelo Ball?
Yeah. That was a fair question to ask. I at the time said LaMelo, and you said Hero,
and so did the personnel guy who does this for a living. He said it wasn't even close. He would take Hero, or he would take LaMelo, 10 out of 10.
And this was back in the. This was back either right after the draft or right before it. It was right.
Yeah, it was like preseason time. Yeah. And you know, Hero hasn't had a very good year. He's been hurt, and LaMelo has been spectacular. So now it's a last question.
Well, and that's not even necessarily a knock on Hero. Like, I think, like, Hero's a good pick, and he's a good player. But LaMelo, I mean, it's like McMahon said, if you're flipping around, and the Hornets are on and he's playing, you are stopping and you're watching him play. Because he's just got an it factor to him that you can't deny. He's just super fun to watch. And look, the proof is in the pudding right there. He's been awesome. I mean, he's got a 19 PER as a rookie point guard. Like, those are the guys who tend to be terrible as rookies. And he's been phenomenal.
He's a lot more proficient shooter than I thought he would be. I knew he's a playmaker. He's just a lot more proficient shooter.
Well, and they'll give him the ball down the stretch. They'll run offense to him, you know, with the game on the line. I mean, he had a great closing performance against the Suns. You know, that's Chris Paul's Suns. I mean, and he was spectacular down the stretch in that game.
For people who didn't see it, it was a couple weeks ago, but that game, go watch that Suns game from about the 4.5 minute mark to the 90-second mark. And LaMelo completely took over that game. And it was all like little stuff. Like Devin Booker comes down and makes a fast break layup. The Suns had made a comeback from down 11 to tie the game. Look like this, you know, really good team at home. They come back against a mediocre team. All right, the good team's going to pull ahead and win the game, right? LaMelo takes the ball out of bounds. He flings the ball down court. He races back up court and he throws from half court an alley-oop pass to Miles Bridges for a dunk. Just completely changed the energy of the game. And then he blew by DeAndre Ayton a couple times for buckets. I mean, just completely turned the game on its head against a team with Chris Paul and Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton, a really good team. DeAndre Ayton could barely stay on the court against them. I mean, it was just performances like that he's had. He's just done stuff that, like, it's just been awfully impressive to see from a guy his age and with his experience level when he basically didn't play for 2 years before coming into the NBA.
So here's this is just remarkable. You know, they kept him on the bench for a long time this year. And then they brought him, I guess it was in early February maybe, or maybe late January.
They started 15 games now.
Yeah, okay. So before he was when he was coming off the bench, he was shooting like 30% on threes, 29.9.
Well, he got off to a terrible start, which skewed that. Right. But yeah.
Okay. Since he joined the starting lineup, he's shooting 45% from three.
Right. 38% for the year on high volume, which you'll take that any day of the week from a rookie. I mean,
and shoot 80% from the line too.
You know, he is having, if you're talking about like teenage production, it's Melo, Luka, LeBron. When you're talking about that kind of scoring, rebounding, assists, and he's been more efficient than either of those guys were, you know, their teenage years.
Yeah, he started 13 games in February. He averaged 20 points, 6 rebounds, 6.5 assists, shot 40% from three, 86% from the line, 45% from the field. I mean, that's big time stuff.
Yeah,
big time stuff.
So, I think they play tonight, so you know we'll see what happens. You guys will know what happens. We haven't heard. We have, you know, when you hear the pod, but so they're right now they're seventh, but more than this season, their issue is can they get that third piece? I think Memphis is in the same boat. And by the way, Ja Morant came back from that ankle injury and was basically blah for about a month. Or give or take 3 weeks, 4 weeks. Ja's put together some big time games. He's roaring back. Watch out for that.
And then we've yet to see Jaren Jackson this year. That's right. You know, not great.
So Memphis also doesn't sound like he's coming back anytime soon either, by all accounts. So who knows if he will.
So the real challenge in Charlotte now, they've got the franchise piece, I think. They've got the franchise piece in Memphis. You know. How can they get these mid-market teams, how are they, without free agency and maybe without high picks, how are they going to be able to get that third piece? So we'll keep an eye on that. Speaking of no time back soon, two star players have some injury situations that are beginning to get concerning and extended. So Kevin Durant pulled his hamstring. And he was kind of listed day to day on the Nets West Coast trip. And then they were like, okay, he's going to have a second MRI. He had the second MRI and they were like, yeah, he's done. He's done till All-Star. It was like, he was going to be back any day. And then it was like, oh, he's done till after All-Star. And then yesterday, Steve Nash came out and said, he's not even going to get another MRI for a week. And who knows what that's going to show. And so my question here is, what did that second MRI show? And I'm not worried about the Nets at all because, I mean, as long as Durant's okay by literally the first day of the playoffs or probably in the second round, I'm not really that worried. However, something's got the Nets pulling back on Durant, and that's worth noting and worth potentially, you know, keeping an eye on, I think, Bontemps.
Yeah, no question. I mean, look, we all come into the season, didn't know how Kevin Durant was going to look after not playing for 18 months, right? And he's been as good as you could possibly have hoped for in terms of his on-court production coming off the Achilles injury. But, you know, look, for a guy like this, we've seen with DeMarcus Cousins, we've seen with lots of guys, once you start to have injuries in your lower body as a basketball player, especially a guy as big as Kevin, right, you get concerned about chain reactions with other stuff being a problem after that. And I'm sure that's a big reason why the Nets generally under Sean Marks these past few years, they've tended to be extraordinarily conservative with injuries. So that should be said as part of the calculus here in terms of why it's been, you know, it's probably going to be close to 2 months before Durant plays again. But look, I think you have to wonder about what his health is going to be when he comes back. Cause again, if he comes back and 2 or 3 weeks later, he has some kind of tweak in his hamstring again, if he misses another month, well, then you're talking about bumping up against the playoffs. And then, you know, that's obviously when his absence would be certainly a lot more amplified than it is in the middle of February and March.
Well, McMahon, the big concern isn't just, compensation injuries. The big concern is if you've got a pulled hamstring and you come back too early and then you tear the hamstring, now you're looking at months.
Yeah.
But I will point out that Durant came back. He pushed it coming back from the calf injury, and he gets the Achilles. And you remember when he had the big injury in Oklahoma City, the foot injury, he comes back and ends up having to have another surgery on the foot. I'm not comparing a hamstring injury to those two injuries. However, it does form your opinion on how you evaluate injuries.
Right. And you know, there's no reason for him to rush back. They are racking up wins without him. I mean, Harden and Kyrie are playing great basketball. You know, why, if you're Kevin Durant, you don't need to rush back. And like you said, you don't need to rush back and risk something that's going to be months and potentially ruin your whole season. I mean, look, since his time, he's missed, they've won since he's been out all but one of these games. So, you know, they're doing all right without him. And the one game that they lost to Dallas, Kyrie also sat out.
Vivid Seats wants you to get to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seat Rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code HOOP. That's code HOOP, H-O-O-P. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, experience it live.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and on the Ways to Win podcast, coaches Craig Robinson and John Calipari are here to help. Each week, Craig and Coach Cal use their on-court wisdom to solve your off-court problems. Whether it's trouble at home or a workplace dilemma, the coaches will help you find a winning formula for success. And you'll hear from prominent athletes, business leaders, and celebrities who reveal insights that made them into the leaders they are today. Like President Obama, who breaks down his bracket and talks about how he deals with pressure by projecting confidence, believing in your team, and taking criticism. Listen to Ways to Win wherever you get your podcasts.
So the other guy is Anthony Davis. There's been... And again, the Lakers are having a practice today. Maybe there'll be an update and we'll be behind. But there's been no update on Anthony Davis. Again, they said after the All-Star break, but they didn't necessarily imply that he was going to spring up fresh as a daisy.
Yeah.
When that was over. So, and that's a serious, you know, I know that they like went to lengths to make it sound like, oh, it's not the Achilles. It's next to the Achilles. Guys, it's an Achilles.
Well, and okay, and you just mentioned Durant. Oh, it wasn't the Achilles. Well, it wasn't the Achilles till it was the Achilles. And then it was, you know, then it was he's out for a full season. And yeah, this is red alert with Anthony Davis. The fact that there was, you know, some Achilles with a whole big long medical word after it, out of tendon or some, I don't know what it was. It had a ton of syllables. And then he comes back and plays What was it? Was it one game? Maybe two games, whatever it was.
One game, I think.
Yeah, I think it was one game. And limps off and, oh, it's a calf. Da-da-da. Well, whatever. We haven't seen him since. And you know what? Obviously, the main thing is you want him healthy when the playoffs start. And if he's healthy when the playoffs start, I still like the Lakers' chances to come out of the Western Conference. It does not matter if they sink to the 4 seed or, whatever.
It does to the Jazz.
The Jazz as a whole. Hey, let's fight for number one. Well, you might get the Lakers in the second round regardless.
Well, and look, and like you said, McMahon, as far as the Nets are going, right? James Harden's playing like an MVP again, and the Nets are rolling. The Lakers have won 3 of their last 10 games, and before that, they needed overtime to escape from games against the Pistons and the Thunder. And the one game earlier in the season when Davis didn't play, they got annihilated by the Pistons, who stink, right? So, I mean, look, when they get – I'm with you guys. If they have Anthony Davis and LeBron James in the playoffs, you're going to like healthy. The Lakers' chances of – right, healthy. You're going to like their chances against anybody. But this is a team that does not have a lot of depth, despite some of the moves they made in the offseason.
Right.
They have not been very good when he hasn't played. And
Gasol looks out of gas.
He looks out of gas. A lot of their support pieces – Montrezl Harrell has not played well. Their support pieces haven't been good. And you look at the overall mix there, and if Davis does miss some time here, they're probably going to keep losing games. And you said, that's going to be interesting to see kind of where they ultimately settle because, could they end up in that 4-5 and then potentially play Utah in the second round? Could they end up even as low as maybe 6 and have to play, the Clippers potentially in the second round, maybe play them in the first round if things fall a certain way? I mean, right now, I think if I remember correctly, right now Utah and Phoenix are first and second in the West, and I think those teams are going to be pushing to win games. So, it's not out of the question to think that with 2 losses separating 3rd to 7th, like you could even be in a situation where one of those teams is in a play-in game. So, ultimately, I don't think it's going to matter in terms of their ceiling, but it could make the road a lot tougher if they can't.
Just to be clear, you're saying the tightness between 3 and 7 could be that a game or two could be the difference between not having to play in a play-in game and playing a play-in game.
Or having hope. No. Look, if the Lakers, if Anthony Davis missed another 10 games and they go another 3 and 7, then like a play-in game could be in play. Like I'm just saying, like I think ultimately
they're scaling. I do not think that will happen.
I don't think it will either. And I think that they're going to be like, to be clear, I think the Lakers, if they have Anthony Davis and LeBron James healthy, are going to be fine. But the more games he misses, if they don't play better than they did before the break without him, it could make their road a lot tougher than we would have thought it was a month ago when they were like a half game behind Utah with the second best record in the league.
I thought the Lakers were going to have a tough road last year, and they ended up blasting everybody off. But let me just say that, and this is for the aggregators, I do not expect the Lakers to make a trade. Okay? Got that?
Wendy calling a shot for the aggregators. I got aggregated.
Having said
this morning.
That, in talking to executives throughout the league, when the Lakers have had trade discussions recently, they've indicated that they were looking for big man help, which implies that they want more reinforcements there. And some teams have wondered if that means that AD may be, a little bit more banged up than they thought.
Again,
of course, it could be just that they need help with Gasol
they need to be cautious with him. I mean, that it doesn't matter where they could finish 10th in the West. If Anthony Davis and LeBron James are healthy, you're going to like their chances against just about anybody going to the finals. So it doesn't even the seeding doesn't even matter, really, ultimately, where it is. It's just he needs to be right. So if he's got to sit a month and they struggle for another month and then he comes back and he's back to being Anthony Davis, that's fine. Doesn't matter. They just – like that's got to be the only thing that matters for them is getting him right and ready to go for the playoffs.
And managing LeBron's workload. That's the other part. With AD being out, LeBron has to carry such a massive workload. I mean, you look over the last – month and change, and there's some overtime games in here, obviously, but 46 minutes, 43 minutes, 41 minutes, 43 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, the they're almost fortunate that they got blown out by Utah and Denver because they could yank him and not run his minutes up in those games. But LeBron can't be playing. He's 36 years old. I know he's an absolute freak of nature. I know he invests millions of dollars into taking care of his body. I get all that. He's 36 years old in his 18th year. You can't be piling 36, 38, 40 minutes a night on him with the ball in his hands the whole game and just assume that he's going to have a ton of gas left in the tank to play four freaking playoff series. You've got to be careful there too.
Plus the plan. Just kidding.
Bontemps has them having to win three games to get into the bracket.
I do not have them doing that. To be 100% clear for the aggregators out there, because people think that I absolutely loathe the Lakers and I'm like saying I'm talking crap about them all the time. I don't think they're going to be in the play-in games. I don't.
All right.
One
team that I think would love to be in the play-in games, even though they probably have aspirations of getting past it, are the New York Knicks. And I never would have thought in December or even January that I would classify the Knicks as buyers at the trade deadline, but they appear to be. I don't think they're going to be looking to make a major move. I think they're looking to just supplement their roster. They're on the lookout for right now. Mitchell Robinson is out with is it broken hand or broken wrist? I can't remember.
I think it's a broken hand.
They actually, I think, are going to sign a 10-day center here in the short-term future. We'll see if it happens before this pod comes out. But they're looking for another piece, and they have $15 million in cap space, which they can use to facilitate a trade. The other thing is they have three picks in this upcoming draft that are pretty good. They've got the Dallas pick unprotected. They've got their pick, and then they have the Detroit Pistons second round pick, which is right now would be like 32 or 33, which is a pretty valuable pick. I don't think they're trading either of those first unless it's a real nice pick. But since they've already got a couple of first round picks in this year and a bunch of young players, it wouldn't surprise me if they were willing to part with that that Detroit pick, which won't be a bad pick in this draft at all. There's some value there. And then they've got the salary cap space to work with. So I wouldn't be – I think the Knicks are gonna be hunters. And regardless of that, Bontemps, they've got a tough schedule. We talked about this on a podcast last week or whatever. Their schedule is tough in the second half. I think Pelton was mentioning how the numbers indicate that they're due for some teams to blow up from three against them. But they are one of the top three defenses in the league, and they're looking to supplement their bench. Are we serious about the Knicks as a playoff team?
No, we should not be. And I think it would be a terrible decision for the Knicks to spend resources to supplement this team further than they have. The Knicks have been a great story. Tom Thibodeau has done an awesome job. Julius Randle has been a really cool story. Guy who has bounced around a bunch in his career, has found a home in New York and is playing out of his mind. And the Knicks have been really good. That being said, the Knicks had the easiest schedule in the league in the first half. They have the second hardest schedule in the league in the second half, second or third hardest. And they're two games up in the loss column on 11th place. And they're three games up in the loss column on 12th place. I don't think the Knicks are going to be even in the play-in games. I think because of that schedule in the second half. And I think that's the best thing for them, frankly, because the Knicks are a team that needs another star. And the best chance for them to get it is to jump up in the lottery and get a top five pick in a draft where there's a bunch of studs at the top of it. And look, if they go out and, trade one of these
they're
first rounders
place
and get
in
some
the East and you,
yes,
they're fifth place in the East and you got them top five in the draft.
Well, they're in fifth place.
Lakers and Knicks drafting four and five.
They're in fifth place in the East, 2.5 games ahead of 11th. And they've got a brutal schedule coming up, and Toronto and Indiana and Miami and Atlanta, I think are all going to be better in the second half. I think the deck is stacked against them. And I think it would be a huge mistake for the Knicks to try to chase making the playoffs this year when they have a lot to be excited about, no matter what happens in the second half from the foundation that Tibbs is building there. And I think they need to just ride this out. And if they do make it in, if I'm wrong, good for them. It'll be cool for the Knicks fans to have this team that's got a bunch of easy to like guys make the playoffs. But I think that the odds are stacked against them doing that, given the way the schedule is broken out. I think they took advantage of an easy first half schedule, and I think the second half is going to punish them pretty good.
Let me ask this, and kind of getting back to where we started. What if they're not giving up assets? They're using most of that cap space and a little bit of filler. And, you know, would LaMarcus Aldridge be a guy that would make sense for them?
I mean, he would help for them not making the playoffs. He would help that.
Wow. Wow.
Well, maybe there's an art to that. Maybe there's an art to let's make it look like we're trying to make the playoffs, but actually not.
I mean, they would have to add a bunch of money. They would have to add a bunch of money still to make that deal work. I mean, I think they've got 13 or 14 million
Kevin
cap
Knox
space.
And Kevin Knox and their space might do. I don't know.
I don't have the trade machine up in front, but you could get to a deal that would make sense for the Spurs, certainly saving some money, getting a reclamation project.
Well, the Spurs getting anything a lottery makes sense for the Spurs.
Right, a lottery level reclamation project.
I just don't. They're not even playing Obi Toppin as it is now. I don't see them adding. They're not even playing Obi Toppin now. I don't see that. It doesn't make any sense to me for them to add another four or five who would play minutes.
He's not a four. He's a five.
I understand, but they're not playing Obi either at either spot much. So to me, if they do anything, they should try to find a way to get him some more minutes in the second half of the season somewhere, not add LaMarcus Aldridge. Look, if they can add somebody for free, if somebody's trying to dump somebody, you know, if they could get Victor Oladipo for basically free and they want to take and see what he looks like with their team for 2 months, sure.
Would you trade that Detroit pick for Victor Oladipo?
No. Victor Oladipo has also been terrible, and they could sign him in the offseason anyway.
If I'm New York, I'm not trying to give up a few. No, I'm not giving up the number.
Picks. I'm not giving up the first or second pick of the second round, which is a really good pick, to trade for a guy that they could sign in a few months who has not been good. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. If his bird rights would be of use to them, like if they were, I don't know, the Hawks, who have no cap space, right? If the Knicks didn't have cap space this summer, and you're like, hey, Victor Oladipo is got a chance to be a pretty good player for us. Let's get him now and have his bird rights. Like, okay, I could understand that maybe making some sense, but the Knicks could sign him this summer. And like we've talked about on the pod before, I don't see there being a robust market that the Knicks wouldn't be able to afford with their cap space for Victor Oladipo. So I don't see why they should give up a
well, because top five Victor pick Oladipo would help them try to make the playoffs. That's why.
I think that would be a very short-sighted decision. I would not all right. Like that.
Well, they did trade one second-round pick in this upcoming draft for Derrick Rose, and so maybe that was their move with picks. But
Tibbs is well known for his patience. I know he's not the ultimate shot caller, but
by the way, right, before we go,
Tibbs is definitely thinking about the 2022 season right now.
Before we go, Wednesday, Tibbs had his they had practice the Knicks, and Tibbs was asked about the trade deadline and said, I have a bias toward good players, which was just one of the all-time great lines, I thought, that anybody has said. Like, yes, I'm glad you like good players more than bad players. I found that very funny.
The other thing he said was, which is very popular this time of year, is, I love our team. I love my team.
Yeah.
I always remember right before the trade deadline, I think it was about 2006, Danny Ferry, who was a general manager of the Cavs, I was covering the team. He's like, we love this roster. And like 2 days later, he traded six players, traded six and brought in four.
Now, when's the last time you've heard a GM or a coach stand up and say, this roster sucks?
Well, this is the same thing as I'll wait for the next time for a coach to say that a coach deserved to be fired. It falls in the same category.
Yeah, right. Man, we didn't get the guy we wanted in the draft.
All right, thanks for listening to Hoop Collective Podcast. Congrats again to McMahon. Enjoy your weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.
Adios, amigos.
2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.